But today we're going to finish the postures of prayer. And just to review, well, before we start anything, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for the prayer class and the faith builders class, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to come and move, Lord God. As we have said before, if your Holy Spirit doesn't come, we might as well go home, Lord. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and move and work through us, Lord. Inspire us, Lord God. Oh, Father, we are determined, Lord, that we learn how to pray. We learn how to reach you, Lord God. Father, our prayer is always that you would increase and we would decrease, Lord God. Amen. We submit ourselves to you, Lord, and we pray, oh, Lord, by your Holy Ghost, that you help us today. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And, Lord, as always, we expect you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So as we get into, I'm just going to do a brief review of the postures of prayer. And as the name implies it, the title implies it, talks about positions that we are in physically when we pray. And the key verse is from Psalm 95:6, and it says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." And we went over bowing and kneeling, kneeling our head or kneeling on our knees. And what that means is that we're bringing our head down low. We're bringing that part of us that thinks and leads us down low before God. That's what you mean when you bow. You are bowing yourself. You're submitting to someone else. So that is probably the most well-known and popular posture before God, is the kneeling and the bowing. The next, we talked about lying prostrate, and that's when you, oh boy, you really want something from God, and you are laying down on your face before him. I mean, all bets are off at that point. You're ready to just cry out to God and put your face down to the ground in submission to him. And this is what we talked about when the children of Israel came back from captivity from Babylon after 70 years in captivity. They were ready, and they got on their faces before God because they had been through enough and didn't want to go back through that again. And then we talked about lifting hands to God, and that lifting hands is a position of total worship and release to God. We're just releasing everything to him, and we're worshiping him. We're not holding back, as the song says, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. We lift our hands, and we praise, and we release to the Lord our God. And then we talked about silence. Boy, last week we talked about silence, which was so wonderful to just talk about what it is just to be silent before God. You know, there comes a point where you've got to understand prayer is a dialogue. It is not a monologue for you to just blah, 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 just keep talking and keep talking. It is a point where you need to just be quiet before the Lord and listen to what he is speaking to your spirit. And often he'll bring up scripture to your heart. He'll bring up praise and worship to your heart. He'll bring up so many things. And you know, some things that you, I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you didn't even speak it out loud, what was going on with you. Some things are so deep. Some things are so hurtful. Some things are so deep that you can't even say it in words. But God sees right into your heart, and he'll minister to those things, that part in your heart. And sometimes that happens when you're silent before him. You're just silent. Sometimes there are no words. There are no words. And you just need the Holy Spirit just to speak to you. We talked about the scripture in Revelation where Jesus said repeatedly, he said it in Matthew, and he said it in Revelation, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." But you can't hear if you're talking, okay? So that's what that was all about, if you have a hear. A lot of people can hear physically, but they're not hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that's why we are silent before the Lord, because that's when your spirit, that's when it turns up the volume to the Spirit, when you're quiet and you're silent before the Lord and you're wanting him to speak to you. You treat him like a companion. I love David because David treated God like a companion. The way, when you read the Psalms, the way he talked to God, I mean, he told him everything. He told him even those things that bothered him so much. He told him just the dark things in his heart, he even told him. Remember, we talked about the hatred he had, and he talked about his hatred, and he talked about God, and there were times when he was just silent before God, and he just wanted God to speak to him. And so we talked about the Psalm of David. He He said, my salvation. David wrote, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. You know, boy, that there's so much in that. There's so much in that verse right there. He said, from him comes my salvation. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from other people. There's a point where you got to hear from God for your salvation. Mm-hmm. For the strength of your salvation, you have to have a relationship. And I said, it can't be one-sided. You got to get past this monologuing prayer. You got to get into the dialogue. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. We play that song by Donnie McClurkin. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Give me the words that will bring new life. I love that song, and the words are so inspired by the Holy Ghost, and that he's just saying, just speak to me. I'm just before you, and just speak to me, Lord. Say what you want to say. I've said what I wanted to say, but Lord, now I need you to say what you want to say to me. You know, so, and again, and we gave some warnings. You know, God is never going to tell you anything that's against his word. So if you're hearing something in your spirit or in your mind that is against the word of God, it's not God, you know. So again, seek deeper, you know. And remember, another warning is that God may tell you something you don't like. He may confront you, because I find that always with God. The first person he deals with is me. You know, I'm praying, you know, I've already did my talking. Okay, and do this and help Terry, Lord God, because Terry needs help, Lord Jesus. And help, yes, help this one, and help that one, and help this one. Help Rose. You know how Rose is, Lord. Help Rose. But when I get silent before God, first person he deals with is me. Mm-hmm. Oh, you need to forgive. Where, yes. You know, you have some get forgive, Lord, but, and we, you know, how we did. We've talked about this numerous times, how we justify our sin before God, and we can't. I'm telling you, when you get silent before God, and I'm telling you, when God speaks, you know it. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. When Jesus speaks, man, you know it. It's like all this stuff just, I mean, you have no comeback. I have found I have no comeback. As much as I talk, I have no comeback when Jesus is speaking. I'm like, yes, Lord. Accept, yes, Lord. Accept, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You're right, Father. Yes. You're right, Lord. I need to deal with that. Yes, Lord. I need to forgive it. Yes, Lord. I need to let that go. I've toiled with it long enough. Can I leave it with you? Can I leave it at your feet? So we talked about that posture of silence. And today we're going to talk about lifted voices. Lifted voices. And what page is that on your lesson, Terry? Page 5 on your lesson. We're at the end, and we should finish up today so we can move on to next week. I want you to please try to come back next week of the locks of prayer. You wouldn't believe, boy, what we're going to talk about next week. And as I said, we got to hit you right between the eyes on this one. So the locks of prayer. And there's handouts that everyone should have gotten, a handout for today's lesson. In addition to the lesson, there's a handout with some scriptures on it. So as we talk about lifted voices, in contrast to the silent prayer, there is prayer in which you lift your voice to God, declaring to the world he is Lord and exalting his name. David wrote, I cried out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me, in that Psalm 77:1. This psalm, David is making a declaration before people as to the faithfulness of God in hearing his voice in prayer. There's an affirmation, folks, that takes place when you praise God with your voice. It affirms that you're talking to God. It affirms, it goes beyond the listening to the praise of others. There is a decidedness that takes place when you praise God with your own voice. You have made a decision. I'm going to step out of my silence, and I'm going to speak to my Lord, and I'm going to praise him. So when you praise out, there's an affirmation that takes place when you actually speak praise to the Lord. Along with lifted hands and lifted eyes we talked about, the Bible also exhorts us to lift our voices to the Lord in prayer, and that's out of our book. Lifting your voice in prayer establishes your stand before God, yourself and others who may hear. When you speak to the Lord as you would anyone else, you establish his reality to you. okay? You know, a lot of people like, you know, it's a place for silence. We just finished in silence. But there's a place where you open your mouth and you declare, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. And I want you, people that are around me will hear me praise your name. And it affirms your reality to me that I'm speaking to you. David spoke to the Lord as he would a close companion. He had numerous conversations with God. David wrote, I call upon you. Hurry to me. Listen to my voice when I call to you. Psalm 141:1. You mean he's talking to God just like he would talking to anybody else. I'm calling you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Listen to me. That's the way he talked to God. It was just like he was talking to somebody else, because he was so he had affirmed God's reality to himself, and he would talk to God like he would talk to anybody else. To speak to the Lord out loud brings your body into agreement with your soul and spirit as your physical voice calls unto God. David prayed, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And you're familiar, it's Psalms 103:1. In this psalm, David is giving to God all that he is and all that he has to give, including the lifting of his voice. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, everything I have. I mean, if you're in a service, you know how you hear people just crying out and just praising his name with a loud voice, you know? You hear the hallelujahs coming. Terry and I go back and forth on Sunday morning. Terry has a distinct hallelujah. Yes. You cannot miss it. Hallelujah. She's very distinct, and I love hearing it. Then I say, hallelujah, back, you know, not back to Terry, but just in chorus. You know, and you hear the praise and the worship, it goes up, and it just makes it a beautiful sound in the sanctuary of all of God's people, affirming that they believe he is Lord and he is God, and we're praising him with our voice. We're lifting up our voice to him. If you look at your handout, just some notes, some extra notes on this, and it says, remember when Paul was in prison, he not only praised God out loud, but wrote the book of Philippians. He wrote at the end of his letter to the church at Philippi. Now, I just want you to get the picture of Paul, and he's in prison, chained. And back then, I was reading some research, and they were talking about he probably was chained to a Roman soldier or chained to the soldiers, to the guard. And here he is. I guess at some point he was unchained because he was writing this letter to the Philippians. And he said in Philippians 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. This man is in prison. Now, I'm trying to understand how he is in prison writing to people that are outside of prison to praise God. You know, so this is, I mean, I just think this is amazing. And the way he is saying rejoice, he's talking about lifting your voice and rejoicing to the Lord. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Oh, wow. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And doesn't it mean so much? This man is sitting in prison saying this, talking the peace of God, and don't be anxious. Shouldn't you be anxious because you're in prison and you don't know what's going to happen to you? But he should be anxious. We usually take questions at the end, but go ahead, Kip. You do.
Well, I just had a comment on rejoice. I was talking with someone the other day, and the rejoice, I always thought it was being, you know, excited in the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the other meaning of rejoice is to be confident.
Confident.
He said,
yeah.
Be confident in the Lord always.
Wow. Wow.
To be confident.
And can you imagine? Here he is sitting in prison. Telling other people to be confident in the Lord. You know, I mean, he should be, you know, people would understand if they didn't get a letter from him. But yet he's still encouraging the churches that he planted to rejoice and lift up your voice and praise the Lord. And then in verse 8, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Wow. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. I mean, just all these words of encouragement as he's rejoicing. I believe a lot of this encouragement is coming to him because he's lifting up his voice and he's rejoicing in the Lord. Regardless of his circumstances, he's rejoicing and he's praising. He's confirming the Lord. He's rejoicing. And as you rejoice, and we got to take something from this, regardless of your circumstances, lift up your voice and praise him on purpose.
Amen.
Praise God on purpose. Lift up your voice. Your voice is controlled by your will. It is not controlled by your emotions. It is not controlled by the situation. It is controlled by your will. So lift your voice up in the worst of circumstances. I remember when we were trying to get a building for our organization, and I looked at so many buildings, and I looked at this one building, and I thought we had it. I thought we were going to move into this building. And then the owner called and said, "I'm sorry, but we had to release the building to somebody else." And I was just so upset. And I remember just driving down the street, and I was just, the tears were coming down my eyes. And I said, "Lord, I praise you. Lord, I glorify your name." You know, it didn't matter. You know, what was going on. The loss didn't matter. I was going to praise his name and honor his name because, Lord, I know you've got something better. Yeah, Terry says, yeah. And God did have something better. He had something better. But I had to praise him in that moment when I felt such a great loss, you know, after all that. And then you lose it, you know, and I'm just feeling so bad. But I said, "Lord, I will praise you on purpose." I had just been studying that. I'm going to lift up my voice on purpose through the tears while you're choking it out. But choke out the praise if you need to. You know, walk and, you know, praise the Lord. Just lift up your voice. It'll do wonders, just as you were reading the apostle and how he was so full of joy that he was able to write letters and encourage other people. He goes on to say, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned," I love this part, "to be content whatever the circumstances." I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret. Oh, I love, don't you love that? I have learned, here we go. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Hallelujah. There it is right there. See, you all got to understand this is the secret. And why they call it a secret? Because it's not obvious. It's not obvious to everybody. I mean, if bad things happen, you should be sad. You should be in a corner just boo-hooing, shouldn't you? You know, shouldn't you be depressed? Shouldn't you be in the bed with the covers over your head? But Paul learned the secret was, oh, you start praising him. I dare you to praise. Oh, I dare you to praise him. I've seen God do some miraculous things when you praise him. I remember a friend of mine back in Niagara Falls, New York, and this friend of mine, and she was being evicted from her house. She didn't have her rent. She was being evicted, and she didn't know what else to do. She just started praising God. They were carrying her furniture out of the house because she didn't, you know, she just didn't have her rent. And boy, she just started praising God and just praising God. She was praising God so long that the movers start bringing her stuff back in. You know, they just decided, "We cannot take this lady's furniture out of here." And I mean, I didn't know how everything ended up, but I know she ended up staying in that apartment. But it was just amazing. She said, all I knew to do was to praise God. All I could do was praise him, and she praised him, and it turned the tide. I dare you to praise God in the middle of your circumstances, in the middle of your tragedy. I dare you to praise him and watch him turn the tide. As Apostle Paul was saying, this is a secret. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, and that was rejoicing and praising the Lord. And then we look at another example with Paul and Silas. And it said, this is from Acts 16, 25 through 31. And it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What's up with that? In prison. and the other prisoners were listening to them. Oh, that's another key part. We're going to hit that one in a minute. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped, and that was a death sentence for the guard. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here."
Wow.
Wow. I mean, just amazing. Just amazing. See, when you praise God, you bless everybody around you. You know, they may look at you funny, you know, like you need to be quiet. But, you know, you just be singing and humming all the time. You know, I'm always singing, humming. You know, look at me all you want. This blesses you. You don't even know you're being blessed. Because I'm praising God, and his presence comes around when you praise him. Look at what happened. An earthquake came. The prison doors shot open. You know, and that just, boy, that speaks volumes. Just prison doors opening because somebody is praising God around you and in your midst. Praise God in your home. I don't care what they're doing in there. I don't care how they're living. You keep praising God and singing hymns. I'm telling you. I keep KTLF on all the time. I'm like, yeah, we got to praise God in this place, you know. You know, just keep praising the Lord, and let the presence of the Holy Spirit come into your home. Paul even cared about the jailer. And boy, it gives you a perspective on loving everybody. It's not just about the people that are on your side. It's about everybody, because Jesus, for God so loved the world. Yes. So you've got to, you know, praising God helps you to love everybody. You don't catch an attitude, even if they're mean to you. You just, oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry. You know, and it just blesses them. You just turn everything around when you're in this constant worship. Verse 29 says, the jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? See, that's where it'll end up. What must I do to be saved? See, that's what happens. See, if you can just praise him through the situation, you know, and not get caught up in the flesh like everybody around you, you got the power of the Holy Ghost around you. Like, oh, we're going to just praise God. You know, oh, we're going to work through this. We're going to praise him. We're going to get through it. You know, and then it changes everything around you. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Can you see how everybody is, so many people, it is so far reaching. When you just because you're praising God, it's so far reaching. You don't know, the Holy Spirit comes in and he does this magnificent work. And that's Acts 16, 25 through 31 again. So again, we just praise you, to lift up your voice and praise God makes such a big difference, you know. So again, get past those emotions. That's our biggest hang up. We get caught up in our emotions, how we feel about the situation, how we feel about this and how we feel about that, and stop that complaining. I know you got to reel it back in sometimes. Whoop, it came out. Reel it back in and say, Lord, I just praise you. I just thank you, Lord. Forgive me for that, Lord, but I praise you and I thank you. Because you are faithful. You've always been faithful and you'll be faithful again. And you just continue praising God and watch God do exceedingly abundantly above. Hallelujah. Whatever you could ask or think. Because I know in this situation with Paul and Silas in the prison, boy, that was above what they could ever ask or think. Not only did they get out of prison, but the jailer is giving his heart to Christ and his family. Wow, folks, you got to understand your presence is like ripples in a pond. Your presence, wherever you've been planted, in a neighborhood, in a home, in a business, you're a ripple in a pond. You're God's ripple that's going out, you know. So keep that in mind and keep doing whatever you're doing. And praising God with a voice, and speak and talk about him. Now we move on to crying out. Oh boy, here we go. Crying out. This posture of prayer, the posture of crying out to God in prayer, denotes deep emotion of the Spirit. When your tears invade your praying, there is an opening to a special level of your heart to God. Let me say that again. When your tears invade your praying, there is an opening to a special level of your heart to God. Crying out is a posture of surrender, another surrender. Note how a lot of these postures had to do with submission and surrender. Note that. Have you noticed that? You know, and because he knows everything, you know, we bring our stuff to him, but boy, he, you know, we got to let him do it. We got to submit to him, and crying out is another. Crying is when you're broken. Crying out is a posture of surrender. Tears represent a brokenness before the Lord. David wrote, "My only sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite, or broken with sorrow for sin, thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise." And that's Psalm 51:17. And this is a psalm. This psalm was written by David after he had sinned with Bathsheba and killed her husband. Boy, he came to God crying. Oh boy, this is where he says, you know, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I love David because he was so in love with God. I mean, there's a love for God and then there's an in love. This man was in love with God and he just had such a heart toward God. David was crying out to God for redemption after his tragic sin. Just as he prayed, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Here he cries out with all his heart for redemption. Save me, O Lord, O God. And he's telling you, God, you will not turn away a broken spirit. Lord, you will not, you know, he was telling God, who he knew God was, "I know you're not going to turn away a broken spirit. You won't turn it away, Lord. Here I am. I'm broken before you. You will not despise a broken heart, Lord." You know, he's saying all these things before God, and he's crying and he's broken before him because he's ready. He's ready. He said, "I did all this stuff," you know, and it's something that, you know, and you know, when you sin against God, it's like the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is just far from you. You know, you've been there. We've all been there. Come on, we've all been there. I know you Christians. Come on, we've all been there. You know, where we've done something, messed up, you know, and you feel like, oh, the Spirit is far from, I can't sense the Spirit like I was. You know, and that's where he is right now. And he's coming back and he's bowing before God and he's crying before God and he's weeping before God. You know, that you would come back to me. That whole Psalm 51 is one of my favorite psalms. It's so beautiful. His heart toward God is so it's just laid bare in this psalm, how much he loved God. Your next point in your lesson says, crying out is the posture of the truly repentant heart. A heart that is crying out for mercy before God. Psalm 51, and it doesn't begin with this verse, but Psalm 51 verse 12 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within me." There's one version that said, "Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." See, there's something that needed to be restored in David. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." His joy had was gone. I mean, he had his pleasure in the flesh, but his joy was gone. You know, and again, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, is joy. And he was saying, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. I can't get it from anybody else but you, Lord." Amen. So I'm praying that you would restore and create in me a clean heart, renew a right, steadfast, a loyal spirit, because I've been disloyal to you, Lord. I've been disloyal. I admit it. I confess it, Lord. I sinned. I knew this was wrong, and I did it anyway. So again, when you come to crying out, you know, God hears. I'm so glad this is in the Word. I appreciate David being so candid as to talk about these things and to write them down for us because we need it today. Amen. Because otherwise, we'd be walking around ashamed. Amen. When we messed up. Amen. And thinking that we had to go hide in a corner and that we can't even talk to God. Know that enemy, that adversary of yours, the devil, will be right in your ears, Kathy. You know he'll be in your ear. Amen. Telling you. You got the nerve to pray? Mm. God doesn't want to hear you after what you did? Mm. Oh, well, you know the enemy will tell you that kind of stuff. You just need to, you don't even try to go to church. Because everybody knows, you know, not that anybody knows, but the enemy will tell you. Everybody knows what you did. And you have the audacity to go to church? Mm. Oh, I'm telling you, you just defy that enemy and you march right up in the house of God and sit on the front row.
Or in your case, in the back.
In the back. Terry always remind me of myself. You know? That's right, Seth. I sat in the back. You know, I just sleeped in the church. You know, maybe they don't recognize me. Maybe I can wear my sunglasses and go sit up in the back. You know, because of all the stuff that we had gone through. It was so, you know, as I said, my stuff was in the paper one time. I was like, okay, let me just go. I just want to be in the house of God. I don't want my children to be on church. So let me just come on in and just sit up in the stadium seating at Praise Assembly, the biggest church I know. So I'll just go sit up there. But God found me. God will find you. You know, and the Lord taught me this very thing. You know, you don't have to sit back there. As I said, I praise God for Pastor Wilson. Oh, man, he was a pastor at the time. And I said, Pastor Wilson, you already know. You already know our story. You know what has happened. And I praise God for Pastor Wilson. He said, don't hesitate to get involved in any ministry in the church. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I thought they were just like, you know, well, we might let you usher.
Maybe greet
at the door, but that's
if
it.
You're really
good. But don't say anything. You can hand out the pamphlet, but don't you say anything. I mean, all these things we have going on in our head, the enemy, he'll make your, you know, I told you, the devil plays both sides of the fence. Oh, he'll coax you into the sin, and then once you've done it, he'll condemn you for it.
Amen.
You know, and try to, you know, that's how he operates. But I'm telling you, I just love, again, what David did and how he wrote down what was going on in his heart and his conversations with God. Create me a clean heart and renew a steadfast. Make me loyal again, Lord. I've been disloyal, but make me loyal again. And don't, oh, Lord, renew a right and steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. So again, this is the cries that we can make before God. When you cry to God, you make yourself vulnerable. When you cry, period, you make yourself vulnerable when you cry. Your walls come down, and you're placing yourself at God's mercy when you cry. You know, that's why a lot of people don't like to cry. Those clerics, you know the clerics, you know who you are. Those strong-willed people always, you know, got it together. Don't want to cry because, you know, it makes you vulnerable and you're afraid to be vulnerable, but before God, you don't have to. Amen. Cry before the Lord. Let your walls come down. Put yourself at his mercy as David did here. The next point in your lesson says crying out. It's intense and loud, heavy and heartfelt. That's from the book. Some people will only show this posture before God alone. They will be strong before others and then reveal the heaviness of their heart before God alone as they cry out their brokenness. Okay, and can I say this is okay? As long as you cry out to God.
Amen.
Some people are very private with their emotions, but be real with God.
Amen.
Be real with God. Amen. You know, God made us with all kind of temperaments. Some people are very private, but before God, oh, cry out. See, David was king. You know, now David was very demonstrative with his feelings and emotions. Remember he danced till his clothes fell off? Well, that was David. But if you're, you know, sometimes you cry alone. Nobody even knows you're crying. You know, somebody can be lying in the bed right next to you and they wouldn't know you're crying. You know, but God knows. So it's okay to cry in private, but be real with God. Be real with him about where you are. He knows it. And until you let those walls down before him, he doesn't have any walls before you, but those walls you have that you won't let him in, those tears bring those walls down. The next point in your lesson says, Jesus had moments of crying before his Father as he faced the trials on earth. The scriptures report he reports who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And that's Hebrews 5, 7, and 8. And it talks about Jesus' tears. And his tears revealed our humanity as we cry out to our Father. And we cry like Jesus, and then we obey. You know, there was a point Jesus was weeping before his Father. Remember they said his perspiration was like there were drops of blood, you know. And he wept before his Father. He said, whatever, if there's any way, let the cup pass. Amen. But after he finished all of that, he got up and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So sometimes, folks, I'm going to tell you, sometimes, yes, you're going to be saddened and grieved by some of the things God is asking you to do. But do it. Amen. Cry out your tears. Amen. You know, I tell people, don't be, you don't have to be stoic all the time. You know, you can cry. You know, I was thinking about my sister, and my sister has struggled because she's had this condition where she's been in the wheelchair. Some of you guys saw her when she was here last summer. And we were at her house in Atlanta, and she was trying to get up the stairs. And there was this point halfway up the stairs where she just stopped and she collapsed on the stairs and she just cried. And she just cried. And I told her, I said, you know, it's all right to cry, Lynn. But after you cry, we're going to get up and we're going to go to finish going up these stairs. You know, so you can cry out to the Lord. Let him know how you feel. He's right there. That's one thing about Jesus. It's like he's there. Even when you're crying, sometimes he delivers you out and sometimes he takes you through.
Amen.
And folks, when he's taking you through, you're going to be crying sometimes on the sidelines. Lord, how long? Lord, when? Lord, why? Lord, how long? You know, so have your sidebar with Jesus and cry and then get up and let's go again. He restores my soul. The scripture says he will restore your soul, and I find he did that. He restores my soul. I said, Lord, I just can't take another day of this. I'm just tired. I just can't do it anymore. And he says, okay, you done? Get up. Let's go again. Let's go again. Because he is able to do it. He's able to accomplish this in us, just like he did in Christ. You know, as Christ, he showed his humanity in that he cried. And he cried to his Father. He knew what was coming to him. I mean, you got to understand, he was all human. He was all God, but he was all human too. And to face the pain that he was going to face, have his back torn into ribbons, to be humiliated. And they said they stripped him down and humiliated him. But yet, he got up and he went all the way to the cross. So again, whatever you're going through, you can have your sidebar and cry with Christ. And then we get up and we go again because he restores you and he keeps you going so you can finish the race that he's put you on. He already knew that you were going to face all these things. He didn't make a mistake. So see it through. So, and finally, as we finish this up, in conclusion, your posture of prayer is overall a pairing of your body with your spirit before God. That's your posture. It pairs your body with your spirit before God. Your posture is not mandatory and it's not specifically prescribed. And I like that. That's from the book. Your posture can help remind you that you are in his presence. The songwriter C. Austin Miles described his posture in prayer as a walk with Jesus in a garden in his hymn, In the Garden. And he wrote, I come to the garden alone. You know the hymn. Mm-hmm. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And that was his posture, walking. You know, some people, I like to walk when I pray. I love to walk and pray. You too. I just love to walk. I just walk and pray and talk to him and walk and pray and talk to him. And sometimes even when I'm doing an activity, I'm just talking and praying and walking with him and talking with him. So you can bow, you can walk, you can kneel, you can lift your hands, you can lift your eyes, you can cry out in all the postures. He will hear you because he's always looking at your heart. Always looking at your heart, folks. Consider your own posture of prayer. Think about employing on or more of these biblical postures. Perhaps one that's somewhat different from your usual method. I'm trying to read this sentence, guys. I'm going to try it again. Consider your own posture of prayer. Think about employing one or more, that's a problem, one or more of these biblical postures, perhaps one that's somewhat different from your usual method. And that's from our book. It may help develop a more intimate relationship with God. One thing that one of my sisters gave me a few years ago is this prayer shawl. And I know I've talked to some people and they have a prayer. You have one too, Rose? She gave me this prayer shawl and I love it. It's kind of made similar to what the Hebrews wear, you know, in the stripes and the gold, they represent different things. This is in a scripture in Hebrew. I'm not sure what the interpretation is, but at the end they have a scripture, but you who fear the name of the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And that's from Malachi 4:2. And then another scripture on the other side. And it's just something that they just wore over their head. They wore this, and you've seen it. You've seen them. And they wear it, and it's their prayer shawls. And it's just a place where you can just go and pray, and you just close, and you can just pray. Sometimes I get on the floor and just lay it on me and just pray before God. And it's just sort of a symbol of prayer. That I'm in a moment of prayer, and that's how they wore this, that, you know, I'm in prayer, and that it's a private moment, and that's why it's made the way it is. I told you guys about the story about Smith Wigglesworth's mother and how she had all these children and how she could not find any place to pray. And all the kids all the time, that she just took her apron and just put it over her head and just prayed that way. And I thought that was so cool. I said, yeah, sometimes you just, right in the middle of all the kids, she would just take her apron and put it over her head, and that was her prayer closet, you know. So, again, encouraging you, just wanted to encourage you to consider these different postures. You know, if you've been just doing one posture, consider doing something else. Lord, let me try some other postures before you. Have you ever laid on your face on the floor, you know, before God to pray? Have you ever done that? You know, have you ever, you know, cried out? You know, some of us are silent prayers, but have you ever cried out in prayer? You know, have you ever let the tears flow? I think most people have prayed with tears flowing, you know, and just letting God do his work in you. The postures of prayer, as I said, it couples your body with your spirit. And that way, your body is lining up with what your spirit is saying and speaking to the Lord. So again, consider all these postures of prayer. And there's no prescription for you and no mandate. Okay, so don't, you know, we don't want to get caught up in, you know, being feeling condemned if you're not doing any of these things. It's just a matter of showing you what these different postures mean and how we can develop our relationship with God, become more intimate with him. Any comments or questions? We got time.
What I'm doing now is I'm reading the Bible again, over again.
Like, we can't hear you.
Oh, I'm reading the Bible again. That's for the 10th time now, I think. I'm doing the Genesis. I'm doing the Old Testament and the New Testament. So, and I write it down every day. And then I just do, like Daniel, praise on where the east side is. I pray there and just put my face down on the ground and just cry out to the Lord.
Yes. Everywhere.
And it's just so fulfilling, and you know, you feel the Lord after, you feel the Holy Spirit.
Okay. And turning east, tell me what that means by facing east. East.
Well, that's what when Daniel was praying uh-huh. on the east side. That's when, I guess, the east
was it toward north. Jerusalem.
Eastern. Yeah.
East, yeah. East, okay. East, that's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And I just go right there and just. Uh-huh. You know, in the morning when you feel the sun shine in your face and just yes. bow down to the Lord.
Yes, that's another thing,
out.
Yeah.
And I just, sun. You know, I need to feel the Holy Spirit
yes.
every day, you know.
Yes.
And just cry out. And that's one of my postures,
oh,
I think.
Boy.
And I go around the house and yeah. stuff like that.
You remind me of this book that came out years ago, Good Morning, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you know, seeing the sun rise, because that is just the faithfulness of God, and seeing yeah. that, oh, this old planet is still turning on its axis like mm-hmm. it's supposed to. Yeah. And here comes the sun once again.
And
praise
look at
God.
The trees, you know, and I know sometimes mm-hmm. when it's so still, and then you start praying, and the whole tree's going,
yes.
And you know, the Lord,
yes.
that's what I feel like.
Yes, yes, isn't that beautiful?
I love it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, go ahead.
So
Kim.
You were saying that when you first got here, you went up in the back.
Yes.
I have a couple
really?
Of friends. Yeah, I have a couple of friends that, like the top up there.
Yeah.
And I asked them why. They mm-hmm. told me because they feel closer to God mm-hmm. being up in the top.
Being up at the top? Okay, see?
Really?
Yeah,
so
he's back
another,
there too.
Another view.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I can't go in the
yeah.
back. I have to be in front.
Yeah.
I get distracted.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have to be in front all the time.
Yeah. You know, we.
She's like, I feel
closer. Closer to God when you're up high, yeah.
No, you're going
yeah.
out. That's what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. And it's really great. It's really great up there. We have a prayer team that prays in the morning, you know. And I like to go up there because,
yeah.
and I go up, when I do go up there, and pray, I do pray for the people up there. I'm like, oh, God,
right.
pray for them, because I feel, Lord, maybe they're like I am. Your friend isn't, but maybe they were like I was. Maybe they're sitting here embarrassed. And,
like Jeannie.
You know,
Jeannie comes up
and afraid
there.
Yeah.
of, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, where I said, well, you're going up and up, and I say, I can't see you anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and maybe she's feeling that, you know, that closer
well,
to God because
she,
of up there.
She used to sit
yeah.
down with us.
Well.
And then she started bringing someone, and he
yeah.
didn't like it, so he sat up back there, and,
yeah.
she, and he doesn't come anymore,
yeah.
but she's like, now I'm feeling closer to God when I sit up
yeah.
there because I could talk to him, and I don't have the distraction
yeah.
like I did down
there. Yeah, it's nice up
yeah,
there.
So.
Beautiful view up there. You know, so anybody else? Comments, questions?
I heard it said that not to get in the habit when we pray of complaining to God, and sometimes complaining we don't even realize we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're describing the situation. The Lord, my neighbor told me, and I like to go over there and knock his block. And we're describing the situation
mm-hmm.
instead of praying what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
So God hears us. We give God back his word. He said, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I am rich.
Uh-huh.
That we can do all things through Christ. Lord, this is a challenge. You know, we let him know this is a challenge, but we're not complaining about it. Lord, I'm expecting your help. I'm
yes.
expecting to be victorious because
yeah.
you told me that this is what I can ask you for.
Yes.
And so now we're agreeing with God and we're aligning ourselves with God. It's not that we're making light of the
mm-hmm.
situation, but we are, as Paul encourages, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And that might be a challenge
mm-hmm.
if you're looking at your circumstances.
Oh, it is.
In your situation, and you look around
mm-hmm.
you, and I'm trying to remember the story. Where the prophet asked that the young man's eyes be opened. He saw the enemy. The
uh-huh.
enemy surround him. And then
and then
when the Lord opened
yes.
his eyes of the servant to the prophet,
yeah.
he saw the armies of the Lord.
Yeah, Elisha
standing,
and Elijah, I think.
Standing all
uh-huh.
around.
Yeah.
And it encouraged him.
There's more with us than are with them.
The
yes.
300 people. It wasn't even 300, but they actually more than they can. They open their eyes and they
You know, the enemy opened their eyes and they see more than anything else.
Yeah. Absolutely, and God does that. You know, that's, you know, example. Boy, that's a good example. When you pray, when you praise God, He shows you. Don't worry, there are more with you than there are with them that are against you. You know, so you just keep praising God. Like my friend back in Niagara Falls, man, there are more with her than there were with these movers, and they had to go put her stuff right back. You know, it's a true story. And I was like, oh my God.
Did you hear the one where the young boy, he was taken by his captors, and he kept singing every praise is to our God.
Yeah.
Every word of worship at one accord. Every praise is to our God. He said he let him go because he wouldn't stop singing.
You wouldn't stop singing. Amen, amen. So I'm telling you, you just keep praising God, and amazing how God comes.
Yes, He's so real. I'm the living testimony, you know.
Well, see, that's what I say. When you open your mind, it affirms to you how real He is.
He's so real because
you
know, my experience, you know, my situation, my experience is just like, you know, He'll put somebody in your life. That helps out and stuff like that in time of need.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
It's just so beautiful the Lord is.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, He has servants everywhere.
What you have, right?
Yes, yes. And I find God's got a lot of people in His secret service, you know. Really, that's what I call it, because you go into these businesses and you're like, you need something done, and God's got people there that's going to just take care of stuff. I know. KD, go ahead.
You're talking about raising your voice to the Lord. Every January, He talks to me about what's going to happen this year. And I've had pretty good results with my children. You know, they're moving a little bit more to the Lord. The first, I walk every morning, so I meet my friend, and I go out at 6 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, that's early. You just got up. But I pray. Well, the first day that I drove over there, I was speaking to the Lord about my children, and by the time I got to the mall, I was shouting in my car. I was just like, it was like, calm down, Dean. It was just like the Spirit of the Lord.
The Spirit of the Lord,
And it lasted all through my walk. I met my friend. I said, I'm on fire. We're going to have Bible study today, and we did for 2 hours, and it's like...
Yeah, you guys are listening to this?
When you release to the Lord,
I believe when you release the Lord like that, the heavenly host is joining you. You know, just like Kip was talking about the army.
Yes.
You know, when you start praising God, I'm telling you, the heavenly host comes along, because that's all they do day and night is worship and praise Him. So you start praising Him, and they join with you.
And
by the time is all is said and done, you are shouting.
I was shouting. And that day we talked about my brother, and I said to her, because my brother coming along, and I said, I was telling her all the things I was going to do so I could get together with my brother. Praise God, that afternoon, that same afternoon, my doorbell rings, my brother was there. That was worth shouting for.
I'm telling you, you worship God, I don't care what the situation. I mean, you don't have to say a word. People fighting, people all in strife. You start praising God, and you watch it turn all around, and they'll show up at your door like, I'm sorry. Or I'm sorry the way I behaved. I'm like, that happened to me this holiday season. I'm like, oh my God. This person came back and said, I'm sorry about the way I'm behaved. I'm like, is that you?
That was exactly.
Didn't say a word. Just didn't say a word. God did everything. I'm telling you, just worship. All you have to do is worship. Go ahead, Kalina, because you're just busting at the seams.
I got like two of them.
Well, Jonda had posted it on Facebook.
There's the Lord. It was like with these two different countries or whatever.
Iran and Israel.
In Israel, we're going to be attacking, God.
Iran was attacking Israel.
Israel, okay. And the Lord, sorry, the Lord, like, created a dust storm and an earthquake all at once. And there's a video and everything, and it's like, oh, it was phenomenal. And
sign of the end times, I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was one where they were doing, when they first started shooting missiles, and the day before the president did their speech, the day before, there is a guy that was doing recording, like live videos of the missiles going off. And there's this guy.
This is so exciting.
He was in the sky. He was pure white.
What?
Oh, pure white.
The angel?
And I don't know if it was an angel or if it was the Jesus. Lord. But he
I
went,
hope not. We're still here.
The figure went from this way to this way. Uh-huh. And the guy that was, and I cannot find it. They took it off.
What?
Yes, they took it off. I cannot find it to save my life. Uh-huh. I even showed my sister-in-law, and we've tried to find it, and I was going to show everybody, and I told everybody last week about it, and it gives me goosebumps. Mm. The guy that was recording it had to do a double look, and then he went back, and then it was gone.
Wow.
But yeah, as far as this storm, what it was a huge, massive, massive dust storm that covered all of Iran. The earthquake was like 5.8 or 5.9, and it struck very close, like within a couple feet of their nuclear plant.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
So it was...
Let me see, Russ.
Wow. Pretty bad. Wow. And this was an attempt that they were trying to...
On Facebook.
They were trying to attack Israel.
And God's Israel, always...
Israel was...
Protect Israel, I'm telling you.
Israel was prepared for an attack. It even stated that Israel was getting prepared...
For an attack. And then all of a sudden, the dust storm came.
Yeah.
You see it?
It was
wow. That was so excited.
It says apocalyptic dust storm hits Iran. So look up that on YouTube. Apocalyptic dust storm hits Iran.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
When I saw that's all I
come on, I'm Jesus.
Like, yep. That's exactly what I was saying. Like,
I was sharing though. I was sharing, I don't know the sister in the end right here.
Rose or Kalina?
Kalina.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible encourages, it says to us, be careful how you entreat a stranger, for some have entertained angels unaware.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes you sit in the presence talking to an angel and you don't even know it.
Yeah. I think one or two have been in this class a time or two. You know, really. I mean, people that have shown up, and I'm like, they were just unusual or just unique and never saw them again, you know. I just believe that.
Yes. Actually, I wanted to look at prayer.
Listen.
My daughter-in-law has a brother that's gone the wrong direction with the drugs big time. And I don't know all that much about it. I just know she barely mentioned it to me for the holidays. And... because I asked about him. So for whatever reason today, he's come to my mind several times already this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to...
What's his name?
I know. I said, okay, Lord, you brought me this far. Okay. What's his name? I can't think of his name.
And how is he related to you?
My daughter-in-law, Crystal.
Okay.
It's her brother.
Your daughter-in-law's brother. Okay.
Yeah. So I just wanted to lift him up in prayer to deliver him from the drugs, the situation he's in. And...
We will pray because we're going to pray and we're going to expect. We're going to expect that change to take place. As I said, folks, start expecting. Start expecting the changes in prayer. You know, as I said, I'm excited next week. We're going to pray today. I'm excited to get into the locks of prayer. And then after the locks, we go into the keys of prayer. And I mean, by the time we get finished with session 12, we should be on our way down the road.
I have a prayer request. Yes, my nephew Ron. He's an alcoholic. He's 49, and right now he's going through withdrawals and seizures and mm-hmm. and hallucinating, and he won't go to detox. And so my sister's trying to find some court order to get him into detox, but he's in bad condition.
Okay, what's his name again?
Ron.
Ron. Okay, guys, let's go into a prayer time. Rose, why don't you start us off praying?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day, Lord God. Thank you for the word that came forth today, Lord God. And we always will praise you every day, Father God, without ceasing. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every one of us here, Lord God, to keep us safe, protected, Father God, by your love, Lord God. And we just thank you every day as we commune with you, Lord God, that you always hear our prayers, Lord God. We thank you for all the people that are sick, Father God. And we just pray for their healing, Father God, from the top of their heads into the sole of their feet. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we just thank you for this beautiful class, Father God, as we learn the words of prayer, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies in our lives, Father. We praise you. We give you thanks and praise, Father God, because you deserve all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, I just want to pray for Kathy's relative.
Crystal's brother.
Lord, we just lift up Crystal's brother to you right now, Lord God. Father, we don't know all the details, but Lord, you do. And Lord, we agree with them today, Lord God, that there's going to be a change in the situation in his life in the name of Jesus. Father, you said where two or more are touching and agreeing, there you are in the midst, Lord God. So you know, we know that you are here and you are hearing us, Lord God, concerning his situation. Lord, Father, we pray you invade the circumstances. We believe prayer makes the difference, Lord God, as we call their names up, Lord. Father, you send the heavenly hosts into activity, oh Lord, and we thank you for it, Lord God, and we praise you for it, and we're expecting the testimony and the good report in Jesus' name, Lord. And we also pray for Ron in the name of Jesus. Father, invade the circumstances of Ron's life, Lord God. Father, we come against drug addiction, Lord God. We know the Holy Spirit is above it. The Holy Spirit is more powerful, Lord God. Father, I have seen, I know what the Holy Ghost can do. You can minister to him. Even if he's high, you can minister, Lord God. So we pray, Lord, that you invade his circumstances right now. Again, we agree with her. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that there's going to be a change, Lord God. And Father, we are expecting the good report to come back and say it is done, or God is moving by his power, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you again for the day. We thank you for the ministry, Lord God. We thank you for your word, Lord. We pray we don't just let it roll off our backs, but we take it in and we digest it. Oh, Lord, that we become more powerful in prayer, Lord God. We become more powerful in prayer, Lord. We know prayer changes things. We're hearing the testimony, Lord God, about what you did in Iran, Lord God. How you protected the nation of Israel as your word has said. Oh, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would walk, Lord God, oh Lord, in the truth of who you are, Lord God, that we would pray first and not last. Oh Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and Lord, we continue to expect you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.